Let's ask Jack. Jack would definitely be more tuned in than any of us when it comes to the NBA and the feeling throughout it. Here's our TSN Raptors and NBA analyst, Jack Armstrong. Go ahead, Jack, answer that in terms of where Golden State is at and the vibe about the Warriors compared to where they were a couple years ago, and can they get back to the top of the mountain?
I'll join them. You know, if they want to pay me $15, $20 million, I'll come out
sure.
there.
Right? I like it. You'll Jack threes?
Yeah, why not? I can handle that. I'll just set screens for those guys. That's yep. all, you know. If that, but seriously, I think you guys are in that right spot. I think it's going to be awfully difficult unless, you know, if they don't make the playoffs and a few ping pong balls bounce and things like that, and, you know, they have opportunities in the draft to improve, and maybe, you know, you're able to get somebody on the mid-level. Maybe next season you get somebody on the buyout market. I think it's going to be difficult. Now, on the other side, you could turn around and say, hey, look, hold on a minute. Klay, Draymond, and Steph won a title without KD.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is they had better depth back then. They had, you know, Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, people like that. As you guys know, in a cap world, when you have to pay your top people tons of money, it starts eating into how you address those other 12 roster spots. And you're paying Klay, Steph, and Draymond a ton of money. And don't discount, you know, Andrew Wiggins is there as well. And, you know, that's a lot of money. And sooner or later, unless your pro personnel staff is off the charts and your scouting staff in terms of college, international, all that, G League, the whole thing, unless they are hitting on every guy they bring in, you're going to have some challenges.
Well, if we kind of sniff that out, Jack, and before we get to the Raptors, I just want your thoughts on this. I read a report, and I don't know, it was Twitter, the Twitter machine, so God knows where it was coming from. But if we know that what's up for Golden State, Steph probably knows what's up for Golden State. What do you think about reports of maybe LeBron talking to Steph and Steph maybe saying, I'm pulling a KD here and I'm just out of here as well?
Wow. I'd be surprised. I mean, he has a great relationship with ownership and, I mean, he's an iconic figure.
Yeah, but if he falls too far out of the game, you know, like, these guys want to be in the game, man. They want to be, I don't know.
He needs Klay to come back and be a rock star.
Yeah. Like,
that's what he needs.
I think if Klay comes back and Klay's 80% of what he was, the guy's a great shooter, and they, you know, they get another piece or two in the offseason, you know, there's no doubt that they're a playoff team now. Are they a top four team? That's the true challenge. But, they have a brand-new arena there. Ownership has bent over backwards and treated him great. And knowing Steph and knowing his family, it would have to be something pretty significant that not going right there for him to just pull a stunt like that. It doesn't jive with who he is as a person and who they're and what their family's all about. I mean, I'd be surprised at that.
Well, you talk about iconic status. I was reading a little bit about it and how he is perceived in Northern California. Like, he, in the eyes of some, he's past Montana, he's past Rice. Like, you're talking the god of gods in terms of the sporting world. And if you leave and go to the Lakers, man, that is not something that would be received very well. But the thing is, the Raptors are in a similar spot in the East. You know, they didn't go to five straight. They didn't win three. They didn't win 73, but they did get to the finals. They were consistently a playoff team, and look at where they are. You know, they've lost 13 of the last 14. And we've been trying to get a read on how much of this is COVID-related. You know, if you're Bobby Webster, you're Masai Ujiri, how much do you believe in this team, and how much do you look at it and say, we got uprooted, COVID ravaged the team, knocked out a bunch of guys for quite some time. What's your percentage in terms of trying to evaluate what we've seen? Because it's really ugly right now, Jack.
It is. No, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I called the game on TV the other night against Oklahoma City, Oklahoma City's in full tank mode.
Right.
They've acquired, what, they got 18 first-round picks and 16 second-round picks and four pick swaps in the first round, which is remarkable. And yet the Raptors couldn't pull it off against them. You know, so it's concerning. I would say that, you know, from a percentage perspective, the relocation and the COVID stuff, I would put it at least 50%, at least, to kind of dislodge a lot of what they were doing. I think the other element, and I've said this a few times with you guys, people forget the Raptors had the second best record in the entire NBA last year. If they had Serge Ibaka on this team this year and a healthy roster, I still think they're a top four team in the East. And, not having him is a huge, huge blow. And I don't think anyone envisioned how devastating a blow it would be not having him. And I'm not trying to make him sound like he's Elvin Hayes or Wes Unseld or, you know, Bob McAdoo or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or anybody. But he's a damn good player, and he was a damn good player for the Raptors, and he had a career year for them last year. And to have that walk out the door, it was crushing. And, Gasol walking out, you can see. I mean, they've already brought Andre Drummond in L.A. They know he's on his last legs. But losing Ibaka was big. So I would put that in there as well as those other two factors. And, you know, it's just you're getting hit from all sides, and it's been incredibly difficult. And to me, the game, this might sound like crazy, but if you're in the camp that you want the Raptors to make the playoffs, then to me, next Thursday night against Chicago, you got to have that thing circled and say that's the game you got to get. Because in my opinion, Chicago's got a lot of talent, but there's something missing there. And that, you know, they're the team to catch if you want to get into the play-in. Are they going to get to six? I think it's going to be incredibly difficult. But to get in the play-in game, they got to catch Chicago, and playing them head-to-head next Thursday, they have to win that game. And in my opinion, if they get into the play-in situation and they are healthy with their top six guys, they are not going to be fun to play.
What have you seen, what have you liked out of Gary Trent Jr.?
Well, the thing I liked the most was what I saw the other night. If you could replicate that on a consistent basis, you got yourself a great player. I've always liked him. I liked him at Duke. I liked him in Portland. He plays the game real hard on the defensive end. Offensively, his shooting has improved significantly as a pro. He can put it on the floor and get his. He can finish at the rim. He has a pretty good feel for how to play with the other four teammates on the floor. He's young. He's got some pedigree, obviously, with his old man having played in the NBA. He's good. He's good. And you know, again, when you've given so much money to Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, and Fred VanVleet, now are they Steph, Clay, and Draymond? No, not at all. But, you know, you got to start looking at those other 12 roster spots and say, economically, how am I spending my money? You know, where am I getting the best bang for the buck? And clearly with the Norm Powell situation, they felt from an economic standpoint, with Trent being a restricted free agent, there's a little bit more cost control there than would have been the case with Norm Powell. Even though you had his bird rights, he was going to opt out and be unrestricted. You were going to have to pay him at a really high level, kind of like Anunoby and VanVleet. And you got to start making decisions that are difficult, you know. But again, yeah, COVID, relocation, but the other one I think people have forgotten about a little bit, not having Ibaka is, if you put Serge Ibaka on the floor the other night against Oklahoma City and you take Aaron Baines out, who got no points and two rebounds, come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big difference.
You win the game. I mean, you win probably five or seven or eight other games in spite of COVID. In spite of being in Tampa, you're maybe not a top four seed because you had COVID and you had Tampa, but you're probably a fifth seed, sixth seed, and if you get everybody healthy down the stretch and everyone back in tip-top physical shape, you know, you're pushing anybody. Nobody wants to deal with you.
Well, we'll see what they got tonight. They're favored out of Vegas. They've been favored a lot recently. They were favored in Detroit, favored in Oklahoma City, and who knows what that means. But we'll see tonight. Have yourself a great weekend, Jack. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this, buddy.
Guys, happy Easter. And by the way, a big reason why, obviously, Steph Curry's not playing tonight, so that changed things significantly. So, but happy Easter, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. There he is, Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors and NBA analyst.